a society where religion today seems to be less and less of Jesus. And so it's good to sing a song that reminds us we're here for Jesus. More and more about Jesus. That's what our life should be about. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We have a wonderful crowd and so many visitors with us. We're thankful that you can be numbered with us. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, the first verses we'll look at this morning that won't be on the screen will be in Hebrews chapter 12. I invite you to open up your Bibles and follow along there, Hebrews chapter 12. As you're turning there, just a few quick things. One on a personal note. We have a lot of good song leaders. Of course, you know, that's my dad leading singing today. And it's been over, I don't know how long, 10 years since I've got to hear him lead singing. Of course, leaving home to go to college and then getting married and starting preaching. But he stopped singing for a while just because, I don't know if many of you know this, and I don't think he'll care if I tell you this, he's over 70% deaf in each ear. And he stopped because he couldn't hear the congregation for a while. And so I always missed his singing. And so now that they're here, I get to hear him sing again. And that's just what I grew up on. So it's just a personal note. Nothing against... I made a mistake. Group 4 is still Steve's group. So if you're in group 4 wondering why Buddy is now in charge of your group, he's not. Steve is still in charge of your group. I just, on the email and the bulletin, had it in my mind that Buddy should be meeting with group 4 today. But Steve will be there with his group. Don't worry. You know, there's a growing problem in our society today, and it's not just our society, but really it's worldwide. And it's debt. It is said that the average American household debt, if you were just to divide up all the debt in this country through all the households, each household would carry $5,700 worth of debt. But see, some of those households are debt-free. And so if you were just to look at the average balance for those households that are currently carrying debt, the average balance is $16,048 per household of debt. The total outstanding U.S. consumer debt is $3.4 trillion. That's a big topic of discussion in the last couple elections. The total revolving debt is $929 billion. It said that 38.1% of all households carry some sort of credit card debt with an average of $10,308 on those credit cards. If you skip over and start looking at another growing trend in our country, it's student loan debt. It's based on a 2017 study that was done just at the end of the school year. Americans owe over $1.4 trillion in student loan debt. That's about $620 billion more than the total U.S. credit card debt. On average, the class of 2016, each graduate would carry over $37,000 of individual debt. That's up 6% from the year before. And the sad part is, almost 15% of those students are in delinquency. They can't pay it. You know, it doesn't take long, and like I said, it's been a big topic of discussion in elections and just in our society, to see that debt is a major problem. And there might be some people here who are in debt, whether it's student loan or credit cards or even house or car payments. It's kind of the way we think in today's society is it's just normal. But I want to look at something today. We're really not going to look at money today. Although if you have questions on that, I'll tell you what the Bible says about it. And it's actually become one of my side hobbies. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about a much deeper issue that is plaguing not just our society, but the world in its entirety, and that's spiritual debt. You see, each and every one of us is in debt. And that means that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we might not think of sin as debt, but that's exactly what we refer to it as in Scripture. In fact, we probably quote this verse more than several others, and we never really stop to pause about what it means for those of us who live in sin. But when we talk about spiritual debt, Jesus tells us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors."
That is, we have debts. He's not talking about money. He's not talking about student loans or credit card payments. He's talking about sin. We have sin in our life. We have trespasses. We have debt. We read in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." If we were to look at the spiritual statistics of debt, it wouldn't be money. But it would be 100% of us are in debt. You know, debt does several things to us. When you look at money, some of you might be feeling this in regards to money, but all of us should feel this way in regards to sin. But what debt does is debt burdens us. Look at what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Right after he has this great chapter on all the great men and women of faith who through their faith are able to do these great and wonderful things, he says in the beginning of chapter 12, he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He tells us something about sin. He tells us something about the debt that we all carry on our backs. He says it ensnares us. It's a weight. It's a burden. I'll never forget in football, in high school, what we had to do is we would have to run the 40-yard sprint, and we would get timed on our 40-yard sprint. But what they would do is they would put these packs on our back, and they would wrap weights around our ankles and around our wrists. And all week, we would train with packs of weight and packs of or weights on our ankles and our wrists. And we would have to run as fast as we can, 40 yards all week, until it came to the last day of the week, and we didn't have to put the weight on. Man, it just felt like running that 40 yards went by so fast because we were so used to just being weighed down by all this weight on our ankles and our wrists and our backs, so that when that weight was finally lifted, we felt like we were the Flash. I won't tell you how fast my 40 yard was because it really wasn't that fast even without the weights, but you felt free. And what the Hebrew writer is telling us here is this is what sin does to us. This is what our debt does. When we live in sin, when we have sin in our life, it holds us back. He says it's a burden. It ensnares us. And I think he's making the point here right after this great chapter of these great men and women of faith. He's saying, look at what they were able to do when they set their eyes on Jesus, when they laid aside the sins of this world and just focused on serving God, when they focused on their faith, look at what they were able to do. They were able to do these wonderful, wonderful things. People who have been in financial debt have claimed it's always like carrying around a one-ton elephant. It never goes away. You know it's there, and it holds you back from enjoying the fun things in life. We might pretend it's not there, but it's still there. Sadly, that's what sin does to so many people. It holds us back. So many of us might live in secret sin where it's weighing us down, and it's a burden. No one else knows, but it's there. That's what sin does. That's what our debts will do. Another thing it does is it enslaves us. One of my favorite, and I'll tell you a story from his podcast here in just a little bit, but one of my favorite podcasts I listen to is the Dave Ramsey Show, and many of you know him and have probably read his books and listened to the same podcast I do. But he always quotes one scripture, and that's in Proverbs 22 and verse 7. He says, the borrower is slave to the lender. And it's funny how many people will call into his radio show and they say, well, I'm in debt. He goes, well, you're a slave. And they say, what do you mean by this? And he says, the Bible says it, not me. He says, it's not Dave Ramsey. It's the Word of God. He says, the borrower is slave to the lender. That is, when we are in debt, we are enslaved. Of course, financially, what that means is when we work and we earn our paycheck, that money goes to someone else and not in our pockets. But spiritually what that means is we're slave to the sin. This is exactly how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6 when he talks about being dead to sin and alive to God. He calls us slaves to sin. He says if those who have died in Christ have been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we should also live with Him. That we no longer have to be slaves to sin. If we died with Christ, we are freed from sin. So many of us go through life feeling like sin has its hold on us. Feeling like sin just won't let us go. No matter how fast I try to run, no matter how far I try to go, sin will always be there. Our temptations will always be there. And it enslaves us. Some people, no matter how hard they try to break away from the sin that so easily ensnares them, it seems like no matter how much weight they're getting off their back, the sin is still there to hold them down. That's what our debts do. What debt also does is it affects our well-being. A recent study by Purdue University claims that those who are in debt financially are more likely to have the major areas in their life affected by stress and other major health difficulties. They found that financial debt affects our life purpose, our social engagement, our community engagement, our financial satisfaction, and our physical health. Higher levels of debt have some serious long-term consequences, including mental and neurotic or psychotic disorders, depression, suicide attempts or suicide contemplation, problem drinking and drug independence or drug dependence. You see all these starting to happen with financial debt, but you take it into the spiritual world, and what you see is sin starts slowly wrapping itself around us. We get pulled farther and farther into debt because of our sin. Before too long, it affects not just maybe myself, but it affects the people around me. Some people that I've known who have been living a secret life of sin have said that they have been literally sick because they know the secrets that they're keeping. They know the people they're hurting. They know that their life isn't right with God. I've heard of one person, this is from a preacher friend of mine, so I can't say I know them personally. But this man was going to the doctor because he knew that there was something wrong with him. He knew that he had these horrible pains in his stomach and his chest. He was starting to hallucinate. He kept going to the doctor. The doctor says, "I can't find anything wrong with you. I can't find anything wrong. All your tests come back that you're clear. Everything comes back that you're completely fine. Is there something else going on in your life?" And then it clicked. He had been living in secret sin. And it wasn't until he went and talked to the shepherds at his congregation and the preacher at his congregation. He came free. He shed the weight of sin. The symptoms all went away. He was making himself physically sick because of the debt that he had in his life. This is what debt does to us. This is what sin does. Sin is a dangerous and powerful tool that the devil uses. The question is, how do we get out? Because I'm sure there are several that are here today. As we looked at just a moment ago, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm sure there are several here today that just need some help. How do we get out? How do we live a debt-free life? How do we live for Jesus? Forbes puts out a list of, it's called the Forbes 400. And it's the 400 richest people in America. And they were recently interviewed on what they thought the best way to not only get out of debt, but to build wealth was. And over 75% of the richest people in our country all agreed on some simple things. And the more I looked at that list, I was really just reading that list because, like I said, this is the financial aspect of this society and this world, and even in my own personal family, it's kind of become a hobby of mine, and I love listening to different podcasts, reading different articles, and I was reading this, and the more I read, I said, this is biblical. This is biblical. This is exactly what Christ has done for us. And the wealthiest people in our country said that these are some of the simplest steps that you could take to get out of debt, but what I want to do this morning is look at these simple steps in regards to our spiritual debt. The first thing that they suggested was, if you want to get out of debt, you have to have a plan. Now, financially, what that means is a budget. I thought it was interesting that almost 80% of the wealthiest people in our country, millionaires and billionaires, budget every month. They have a plan for where their money's going to go. They know exactly, down to the very last penny, where every bit of their money is going. But I want you to notice something. God had a plan. God had a plan for you and me. He knew that sin was part of this world. He knew that you and I have sinned and we aren't worthy of eternal glory and of eternal heaven. We're not worthy. We're sinners. We understand that. God knew that. And so He provided a way for us to be perfected. And from the very beginning, all the way back in the book of Genesis, when He's handing out the punishments to man, woman, and the serpent, He tells the serpent, "My seed is coming. You're going to bruise His heel, but guess what? He is going to crush your head," He tells that serpent there in the book of Genesis. His plan was in effect from the very beginning. God had a spiritual plan so that you and I can live a debt-free life, free of sin, so that we can enjoy eternity in heaven. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, "You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." He says this was part of the plan that Jesus, the Son of God, would come and He would purchase us. That there is not an amount of money in this world that could buy our debt, that could pay off our debt. There is nothing in this world that you and I could do to be debt free. But what it was Jesus. Paul reminded the Corinthians, he says, "You were bought at a price." Jesus came, He paid the ultimate price. He paid your debt. It's almost like you hear those stories around Christmas time where parents are trying to buy gifts for their kids that they can't afford. So they put it on layaway or some credit card. But what you get is a good Samaritan that comes and might hand the store $10,000 and say, "Pay all the layaways." You know those stories that you hear around the holidays? We're the ones living in debt. We're the ones that have sinned. We're the ones that daily decide to do things that are contrary to God's will. We're the ones that time and time again give in to the temptations that are a part of this world, and yet God had a plan for Jesus to come down here and buy us. He says, "We were bought with a price." The price was Jesus' life. His blood is what healed us and paid our debt. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, there's another way to pay our debt. There's another way to pay our debt without using Jesus. And He says it right here in Romans 6 verse 23. The wages of sin is death. You want to pay off your debt? It's going to take your life. Your debt will take your life. That's the wages of sin. He says, "But the gift of God," that again, we've been bought with a price. "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That was His plan. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. And He had a plan to get us there. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Jesus took our sins away. He paid our debt. This was God's plan. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." We've been redeemed. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." When you think of that word ransom, you typically think of like a kidnapping. And there's a ransom to be paid. If you want your child back, that's what you see in the movies. Child is kidnapped. If you want your child back, you're going to pay the ransom money. There's a debt to be paid. And you don't get what you want until it's paid. Well, what it says here is, our debt's been paid. He gave Himself as a ransom. Jesus said, "I'll pay the debt. whatever is owed, I'll pay it. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Again, what Paul's trying to tell the Galatians is, it was Jesus. I mean, you look through all of Scripture, and Jesus was the plan. If we want to get out of debt, if we want to get out of our spiritual debt, we're going to have to follow the plan. And what the plan was from the very beginning through all of Scripture was Jesus. Following Jesus. And God had a plan. He says we need to believe. We believe that He is the Son of God. We believe that He did come and die. We believe that He did resurrect from the dead. We believe in all the promises. We confess that we believe. We repent. That is, if we have someone who is willing to come here and to pay our debts, then we better live a life that's worthy of our debts being paid. If we have someone willing to come here and give up his own life so that a debt that he did not commit can be paid, then we better repent and live a life that is worthy of Him paying our debts. And so it's not just believing in Jesus Christ and confessing that we believe in Him, it is repenting. That is, I'm going to live a life that's worthy of my debt being paid. If He's willing to pay it all, then I'm going to change my life and reflect that payment. Then He tells us we need to be baptized. We need to have those sins washed away. Just as He died and was buried, we need to be buried in the waters of baptism. So that we can no longer, as it says again in Romans chapter 6, if we die with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him. We have no longer slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That was God's plan. God had a plan. But also what these very wealthy Forbes 400 people said, they said, you not only need a plan, one of the best things you could do is you need to surround yourself with people who will hold you accountable. I want you to take a look around for a minute. Look at the people next to you, in front of you, behind you. Isn't that why we're here? Because we all need to be forgiven of our debts. Because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because when we're here, no one is better than the other. It doesn't matter who we are, what car we drive, what house we live in, how much money we make, where we grew up. It doesn't matter how many kids we have. Do you have kids? Do you not have kids? Are you 90 or are you 9? It doesn't matter. We're here because we all need Jesus. We are here because we are all in debt. And we are here because we realize that my debt cannot be paid without the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we gather here and we worship God. We remember that sacrifice. But as the Hebrew writer puts it, that we don't forsake the assembling as is the manner of some, but we gather together to encourage and exhort one another. That's why we're here. To be accountable, to hold each other accountable, to encourage each other to keep going, to not go in any debt, or to go in any further debt, but to keep living the life that is worthy of being debt-free. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble." You want to be wise? Associate with wise. Surround yourself with good people. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 says, "Through wise counsel you will wage your war, and victory lies in an abundance of advisors." You want to be victorious? It lies in an abundance of advisors. Surround yourself with good people. John chapter 15 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." What we are doing here today is gathering with people who have all walked the same path of debt and sin. What we're doing here today is coming before Jesus, claiming that without Him, you and I are nothing. We are spiritually weak. living in sin. And what we are doing here today is worshiping a God that knows that even though we have all sinned and fallen short of His glory, He is still willing to accept us because His plan worked. Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And when we gather together, we're encouraging one another and uplifting one another to remember the sacrifice that paid our debt. And Lord willing, what we do for one another is we remind each other to never go into debt again. As I mentioned a moment ago, one of my favorite podcasts I listen to is the Dave Ramsey Show. And there was one time where a man called in. And he says, I've worked for 4 years to get out of debt. And if you've ever listened to his show, you know, Dave Ramsey gets really excited when people say that they're debt-free. And this man said, I've worked for 4 years. And he was really excited to hear that this man worked diligently for 4 years. He says, congratulations, debt-free. He says, I've paid off credit cards, student loans, and a car payment. And then this is what happened. Man says, in the last couple years, after being debt-free, I went and bought another car, and I put it on a loan. I took a second mortgage because I had to lend some money to a family member in need. I co-signed on loans with a child, and that child can't pay for his college, so now I have to pay for his college. And for a minute, there was just silence. Dave Ramsey, if you've ever listened to him, you know that he doesn't really mince his words. He says, that was the stupidest thing you have ever done. Right after praising this man for being completely debt-free, he says, that was the stupidest thing. I'm probably going to get in trouble with Landon because I'm not supposed to say that word in the house. He says, that was the stupidest thing you've ever done. He said, why work so hard to be debt-free just to go back into debt? The man said, well, I never really thought of it that way. So many of us work so hard to be spiritually debt-free, but then go surround ourselves with people who don't want the same things we want. We go into the world and we surround ourselves with people that are living in sin, and we have worked so hard to remain debt-free, to remain sinless, to not be around temptations, but then we go and we surround ourselves with people that don't care about our debt, and then we go right back into it. We go right back into the sins and temptations of this world. You can almost just see God saying, why? Why? Why would we work so hard to sacrifice so much to get out of our spiritual debt just to go back into debt? Why do we obey Christ and receive our debt paid in full just to continue to sin? It doesn't make sense. We have to surround ourselves with people who are living a debt-free life, sin-free lives, because it's those people that will help us reach our goals. It's those people who will help us do the third and final step, and that's just follow the plan. It's one thing to have a plan. It's another thing to follow it. But if you want to succeed, surrounding yourselves with people who will hold you accountable to help you follow that plan, that's one way to do it. In this interview with the Forbes 400, I said almost 80% will sit down monthly and make a monthly budget to see where every penny of their hard-earned money goes. And they said, that's half the battle. The other half is making sure that's where our money goes, making sure we follow the budget that we've made. But see, spiritually, it's the same thing. How many people know the plan? There are millions and millions of people out there who know God's plan, who know who Jesus is, who know of His sacrifice, who know what He's done for us, but yet choose not to follow the plan that is here in Scriptures. And there are millions of people out there who have not remained obedient to the plan that God has put in place. Quite simply, all we have to do to remain debt-free is not just have the plan and know God's plan, but to follow it. Now, we call that in the spiritual world obedience. We have to be obedient to the one who gave us the plan. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." It's those who keep the commandments. I referenced this just a moment ago, but in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in the next chapter, John chapter 15, "You are my friends if you do what I command." In 2 John chapter 1, "This is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands." That is, there is a plan that God put in place, and it involves sending His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on behalf of our sins, our transgressions, and our debts. Now, are we going to follow that plan? Are we going to remain obedient? Are we going to hear and believe and confess that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God, the only way to pay off our debts? Are we going to repent and live a life that is worthy of being debt-free? Are you ready to be baptized for the remission of your sins? Are you ready to be debt-free? I, of course, went to college, and I went to a college that costs a lot of money, and so, of course, I took out student loans to pay for that college that costs a lot of money. And I'm still paying for that college that costs a lot of money to go to. But there was something I did, and now it made me even more excited to keep going. And that was several years ago when Brooke was working full-time, we took some of the money that she was making out of her paycheck and we put it towards our student loans. And so we were a little bit ahead on our payments. And about 9 months ago, Brooke and I did a complete transformation of our finances. Because we said, we want to get these student loans gone. They got to get out of here. They're living with us and we don't got an extra room for them. And so we were just little by little, just throwing things at student loans. A little bit at the end of the month, put it there. It would have been better to go on a vacation or go out to eat with that money or do something fun, but nope, it's got to go there. We got to get rid of these things. I'll never forget the feeling. I even took a picture of it and sent it to Brooke because I'm that nerdy. Or when I got the first student loan, that in bright red letters on my computer screen said, "Paid in full." I thought, man, that feels good. I felt great. Now, there were more, but just to have one gone felt like I could do this. I took a picture of that. I said, "Look at this, paid in full." And she goes, "All right, well, let's keep going." And a few months later, another one, paid in full. I took another picture. I sent it to her. Man, this is kind of nice. And just the weight that just kind of lifts up. Because paid in full. Listen, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have a debt in our life that cannot be paid by money. It cannot be paid by anything that we do. It can only be paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. But isn't it amazing to know that when you look at your monthly statement for your sins, if you have the plan and know God's plan and follow His plan, there's going to be bright red letters on that statement that says, "Paid in full." Jesus has paid our debts. What an amazing thing that is. If you use a songbook, open up your songbook. We're going to sing this song in just a moment called "Jesus Paid It All." The verses are on the front of your bulletin. But it says, "I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Is your soul stained? And are you living in debt? Jesus can make it white as snow. Jesus will pay it in full. All you have to do is follow that plan. Believe in him. Confess he is the Son of God. Repent of those sins, those debts that you have in your life. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And remain obedient. Doing those things, your debt will be paid. We get to spend eternity with our Father, with his Son in heaven. If we can do that for you this morning, come forward as we stand, as we sing.